So because it was John Mahashtami just a few days ago, we're going to read. We're going to be speaking about Lord Krishna. From the Bhagavad Gita. Fourth chapter, which is entitled Transcendental Knowledge. Jnana Yoga. Ninth verse. Please repeat after me. Janma, karma, cha, me, divyam. Janma, karma, cha, me, divyam. Evam, yo, veti, tatvataha. Evam, yo, veti, tatvataha. Tyaktva deham punar janma. Tyaktva deham punar janma. Naiti mam eti so Arjuna. Naiti mam eti so Arjuna. Janma karma cha me divyam. Evam yo veti tatvataha. Takva deham punar janma. Naiti mameti sorjuna. Janma karma cha me divyam. Evam yo veti tatvataha. Tyaktva deham punar janma. Naiti mameti sarjuna. Janma karma cha me divyam. Evam yo veti tatvataha. Tyaktvam deham punar janma. Naiti mameti sarjuna. Others? Ladies. Close that door. Repeat after me. Janma, birth, karma, work, cha, also, me, of mine, divyam, transcendental, evam, like this, yaha, anyone who, veti, knows, tatvataha, in reality, tyaktva, leaving aside, deham, this body, punaha, again, janma, birth, na, never, eti, does attain, mam, unto me, eti, does attain, saha, he, Arjuna, O Arjuna. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my transcendental abode, O Arjuna. Please repeat after me. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation for the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma-jyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord, and after ending this body, and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations. Dvaita Machyuta Manade Manantarupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction. Although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers, as stated in the Vedas, Purusha Bodhini Upanishad, Eko Devo Nitya Lila Nurakto Bhakta Vyapi Hridi Antaratma. The One Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationship with His unalloyed devotees. This Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who does not waste time in philosophical speculation, attains the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Please turn off your phones, everybody. I forgot to mention that. Turn off your ringers. Or there will be a donation to this temple being made. Simply by accepting this truth on faith, one can, without a doubt, attain liberation. The Vedic version, Tattvamasi, is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme,
or who says unto the Lord, you are the same Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead, is actually liberated instantly, and consequently his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection, and this is confirmed in the following Vedic assertion. Tam eva vidit bati mrityameti nanyaha panta vidyate yanaya. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is no other way to achieve this perfection. Shveteshvatara Upanishad 3.8. That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation simply, so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey or by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born through the darkest of ignorance, but my spiritual master opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So in this verse, Krishna, let's hope that this works this time. In this verse, Krishna mentions one who knows my transcendental nature, my appearance and activities, does not, upon leaving his body, take his birth again in the material world. He says, evam yo veti tatvata, in reality. We have to know Krishna in reality. He doesn't mention, know about my leelas, know about I'm a cowherd boy. There's so many cowherd boys. He had his residence. So many people have girlfriends. He's not stressing these leelas. He's stressing knowing him in reality. The tattva of who Krishna is. Of who his power, what his power is, what his greatness is. If we can understand his greatness, then we know him in reality. Because there's millions of cowherd boys, isn't it? There's so many cows, there must be cowherd boys. So many boys have girlfriends. That's not the greatness of Krishna. Because there are so many, because you'll see so many people, I've seen also in ISKCON, they're just storytellers. They just tell one story after another, but they never mention any philosophy. Right? They are like professional storytellers. Even sometimes I've seen them visit here sometimes. I recall one time they were just telling stories, no philosophy. That's not tattva. He may be a very good storyteller, but does he know the philosophy? Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. We don't know. But philosophy, tattva, is important to know in reality who is Krishna. Otherwise, it can just end up at the sentimentality at best. Or at worst, it becomes sahajaism. Right? There's sahajas. Everybody knows what sahaja is. They take it very cheaply. I can do these things. Just recently, there was one scandal. One person, senior person, he was staying. He specifically disobeyed what Srila Prabhupada said. He stayed in Radhakund, associated with Babaji, and only wanted, he was a
nectar hound, just Leela, just rasa. Only want to hear the stories of Krishna. When Bhakti Siddhartha went to Vrindavan Parikram, Brajmandala Parikram, he went to Radhakund and he gave class on Upanishads. On Upanishads he gave class. And the residents were saying, oh, he's not a Rasika devotee. He's an incarnation of Nayana Manjari, but he's not a Rasika devotee. No, they're not devotees. They're just simply interested in stories. Because then they can just imitate, because they want to imitate Krishna. Why do we have to know the tattva? What is the importance of knowing the tattva? Because the reason we are here in the material world is because we didn't understand the tattva. We thought, oh, why he's the center of attention? Why can't I be the center of attention? We like it in the spiritual world. It's a nice place. But the only problem was we didn't like the fact that Krishna was the center. Well, I should also be the center. So then Krishna, understanding, he sent us here. So we have to understand what is the tattva of Krishna, that he is, you know, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. That he is anayodaniyam mahatomahim. He is greater than the greatest, smaller than the smallest. He is in the atom, the heart of any atom, but through his pores of his skin come the universes. Inconceivable concepts to grasp. He is like infinite dimensional Hilbert space. At every point is connected to an infinite number of points and infinite dimensions. Out of his breathing holes, the universe is coming. But yet when Mother Yashoda is looking in Krishna's mouth, she sees the whole universe. She sees the whole cosmic creation. She sees herself looking into Krishna. That's great. So when we begin to understand this tattva about Krishna, we understand, I am not that Krishna. I am not Krishna. Krishna is something special. It has to cure us of this insanity. We are insane. We think we're Krishna. We think we are the center. We are self-centered. That means we are insane. That's why we are here. It's a big insane asylum for crazy people. So to become cured of this insanity, we have to understand who really Krishna is. In his reality, his real nature. I just heard Srila Prabhupada give a series of classes on the third canto, describing the creation of the material universe. Going not just like brushing through it, like, you know, skipping over the whole chapter. Verse every day, the different verse about how the times, the Kala Shakti is Krishna's energy. Kalosmiya, the time I am, destroyer of the worlds. In the 11th canto, 11th chapter. He describes how the time, the Kala Shakti enters into the Pradhan, agitates the material elements, creates the three gunas. From the three gunas come the Pancha Mahabhutas, the Tanmatras. From the Vyoma comes sound, Shabda, and then comes the ears. These three, and then from Vyoma comes from Vayu. Vayu comes sparsha. Sparsha is the skin, sensation of touch. These three are connected. Vayu, skin, touch. Then from Vayu comes Agni. Agni comes Netra and Rupa. From Agni comes then Appa, water. With water comes Rasa. Rasa comes the tongue. And then from Rasa, from water comes Prithvi. Prithvi comes Gandha and the nose. So we have to say why a devotee is interested in these things. Because we have to understand how Krishna created all these things. How Krishna is God. How his power. The first nine cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam is describing the power, the activities of Krishna. How great he is. Then you can enter into the Leela. All the residents of Vrindavan, the Vrijabhasis, they all know the tattva of Krishna. But they can forget about it. They just interested in the Leela because they know they're not insane. They already know the tattva. Mother Yashoda can give a very good lecture. In fact, when Lord Krishna was playing his Leela of Lord Chaitanya, he sat in the garbage where all the broken pots were there. And Mother Sachi Mata gave him a very good class in Vedanta. She knew Vedanta, but for a special case, she gave lesson to her son. She knows Vedanta very well. But that's not mother. So, but she prefers to behave like a mother. But if she has to, she can give very good Vedantic lecture to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But she doesn't have to. She knows who Krishna is and who she is. She's not confused. The study of tattva is important because if we have everything mixed up and think I'm God, that's crazy. That means we don't know the tattva. We have to understand the tattva. Then, if we understand the tattva, then what does he say? If we understand the tattva, then upon leaving the body, we'll go back home to Godhead. But if we don't understand this tattva, we won't go. Because we'll still think, well, you know, I'm the center. I'm God. I still have that contamination. We have to understand what is the real situation. Just hearing stories, that may be very entertaining, but it doesn't. That's not a guarantee you'll go back to Godhead. If you think, well, you know, Krishna has so many girlfriends, I also can have so many girlfriends. That goes on. The whole sampradayas which are like that, you know, having so many, you know, so many girlfriends. There's some Babaji, then they have a whole troop of girlfriends. Because Krishna does it. So that's his leela. I can also have a leela. Because they don't know the tattva. They don't want to speak about the tattva. They don't want to speak about the tattva. We want to speak about Krishna leela, then we can speak about when the Pandavas were in the forest. So one time Markandeya Rishi came. In the 10th chapter, Arjuna speaks about how so many sages, Vyasadeva, Narada, Devala, they said how you were the Supreme Godhead. He doesn't go into detail about that. So one time, there was all the different rishis would come and visit the Pandavas in the forest. So one time, Markandeya Rishi came. Now Markandeya Rishi, he looks like he's 20, 25 years old, but he's a Chiranjeeva. Everybody knows what a Chiranjeeva is? He's very old. Now, when we say old, he has a very long life. When we say very long life, it means every time a hair falls from his body, that's like one kalpa. One, I think either a day of Brahman or a life of Lord Brahma. Either way, it's a long time. So he's got a lot of hairs on his body, hairy rishis, you know. A normal person has a lot of hair on their body. So anyway, it indicates he has a very long life. So he came, visited Yudhisthira, all the Pandavas, and they began asking him various questions. Then suddenly, he began explaining one time how he was doing meditation, praying to Lord Vishnu. First of all, he pacified the Pandavas, saying that he'd seen all of this kind of things happen before. And he related how many incidences, how in the past people got in power and then they became puffed up. And he was pacifying them. Don't worry, you're in the forest, everything will be okay. I've seen this a million times. Literally, he's seen it millions of times. Because he lives for, you know, trillions and trillions and trillions of years. So for him, it's nothing. So then he said how one time he was meditating on the Lord, on Vishnu, and Vishnu appeared before him. So Vishnu said, what benediction do you want? He said, you should be careful what kind of benedictions you ask for. So he asked, I would like to understand how your Maya works. I want to understand how your Maya works, how your Maya energy works. So Vishnu smiled and then disappeared. Okay, he said, okay, then disappeared. So now remember that he has a very long lifespan. So for him, everything seems like it's going quickly. For us, it's like going very slow. Because you have to remember that 1 second for Lord Brahma is 100,000 years for us. So it seems like it's a long time for us, but depending upon what level you're at, it's not so long. So he's at that level. So all of a sudden, he began noticing that the material devastation was taking, pralaya was happening. You know, and everything got burned up, and then it was like just pouring and pouring rain, and pretty soon there was no more land, and everything was dark, and he was just swimming in this ocean full of huge crocodiles and big sharks and tamingala fish, and he was just, you know, dog paddling in there, just like, you know, because this is not the first time this happens many times. He goes through this all the time. You know, he's a Chiranjeeva. There's the negative side of having such a long life also, you know. So then, it's in all totally dark, but he sees something light. He sees some light. Right? So then he starts like swimming towards this light. And as he swims to this light, he sees there's this effulgent baby, very glowing baby, laying on a big banyan leaf, sucking its toe. Bluish color. This beautiful bluish baby sucking his toe and giggling and smiling and all light. And he's just amazed. And while he's looking at this baby, suddenly the baby breathes in and breathes Markandeya Rishi inside of him. And then when Markandeya Rishi is inside the baby, he sees a whole new universe. Complete material creation. The pralaya is gone. Everything is totally normal. And he walks all over the place trying to find the end of the place, and he couldn't find the end of the place. You know, like people like Narada Muni, they can travel every place. He was traveling all over, and he couldn't find the end of that universe. You know, trying to find the end, and then the baby breathed out, and he was back outside, swimming again, you know, swimming in the ocean. And then he was like, you know, wow, that was, you know. Then after, as always happens, then after the pralaya ends and everything dries up, and then the world continued as it normally does. And then after he finished telling this story, and he looked to Yudhisthira and he said, "And you know that baby? That was your cousin Janardhan," because Krishna happened to be also there. He says, "That was your cousin Janardhan." Janardhana. And Krishna, what did he do? He just smiled. He just smiled. He didn't say anything. He smiled. That was your cousin, Janardhan. But that's the power of Krishna. That there's no inside or outside of Krishna. But Mother Yashoda, looking inside of Krishna's mouth, she sees the whole universe. She sees multiple cosmos. She sees herself looking into Krishna. That's what it means to be Krishna. We're not that. We can't even come. This does not. To even think something like that is impossible. We have to understand there's no possibility that we can become Krishna, not by any type of tapasya, nothing. There's no way ever that we can become Krishna. To think such a thing is insanity, and that will keep us in this material world until we finally figure out we are not Krishna. Right? Krishna is angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti. Simply by seeing, he can hear with his eyes, he can see with his skin, he can smell with his ears. He's all his senses are interchangeable. We can't do that. We have to eat with our mouth. We have to hear with our ears. We have to see with our eyes. That's Krishna. That's not us. So if we can understand this fact, these facts about Krishna, then he says, "One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna." So we have to study very closely the Shastras, not just focusing on the nectar. Oh, I want to hear the nectar, Prabhu. You ever heard that before? People just want to hear the nectar. They don't want to hear anything else. They only want to hear the nectar. Nectar is good, but imagine you only go to a feast and you only eat the cake. Huh? You don't want to have sabji. Don't want to have dal. Don't have no rice. Don't want to have chapati. You only want to eat the icing, not even the cake. You just want the icing on the cake. Like there was a big cake for Prabhupada a few days ago. Who only eats the icing, not even the cake. They only want the nectar. And they'll get diabetes. Their teeth will rot. They'll fall out. You have to have the whole balanced meal. Then the nectar, that's extra. So it's there because you can't understand, appreciate the nectar unless you understand the tattva. That's why there's 9 cantos come before the 10th canto. So we can understand completely. Otherwise there'll be a complete misunderstanding of what is the reality of Krishna. Because we'll think, well, I can do that. I also can do these activities. Because that's what happens. That's a disease. That is one of the problems when one doesn't follow properly, when one doesn't understand the tattva. And is it just me who says something like this? Is that I'm some sort of a party pooper who doesn't like people who want to hear about nectar? No, this is what Srila Prabhupada. This is from his Prabhupada's Janmashtami lecture on August 13th, 1971. This is what Prabhupada said. We should try to understand Krishna philosophically. We should not go away because there is talk of philosophy. If there is story, they may be interested. And everybody laughs. But hearing story only, we are trying to forget Krishna. You see? See, confirm. Any religion, if it is not based on philosophy, one day it will be forgotten. It will be lost. So that is happening. There are many, so many Krishna temples, but there is no discussion of the Krishna philosophy. Krishna philosophy, they think Krishna is an idol, just Jaya Jagadish Hare. That's all. Finished business. No. Janma Karma Chame Divyam Yo Janati Tattvataha. That is the injunction of the Bhagavad Gita. Anyone who understands me, my transcendental activities, appearance and disappearance. Anyone who can understand Janma Karma Chame Divyam Yo Janati Tattvata in truth. That requires philosophical understanding. Religion without philosophy is sentiment. Sentiment has no value. And philosophy without religion is mental speculation. That is also no value. Both of them should be combined. Religion should be combined with philosophy, then intelligent persons will stay with it. So sentiment has no value. In several lectures, Srila Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami, who says, bhakti means based upon Vedanta Sutra. Simply sentiment doesn't cut it. Sentiment, it may be some maybe that will bring you, but it's not bhakti. You have some sentiment for Krishna, that's not enough. It has to be based upon Vedanta. Krishna himself in the Gita says it's based upon Vedanta. Huh? The Brahma Sutra, he mentioned the Brahma Sutras. So, if we want to make progress in spiritual life, if we want to take a progress, if we want to get out of this material, this hellish material world, everybody who here wants to take birth again, raise your hand. Alright. That means you want to leave this world. Right? You're not sure? You want to stay? Okay. So if you want to leave, I want to leave. If you want to leave, then you have to understand Krishna in tattva, in truth. Study the philosophy. Huh? We have here at the gift shop, this is Prabhupada Bhakya. This is all of Prabhupada's lectures, room conversations, morning walks, also all bhajans and kirtans, and more. Now if you listen to Srila Prabhupada lectures, you know, talks, maybe 5% he talks about Leela. Maybe. Mostly, the other 95% just philosophy, straight philosophy. Prabhupada wanted to, he could just talk all day on Leela. But it's philosophy, knowing Krishna in truth, to cure us of our insanity, of thinking we are the center. When you go to the dentist next time and your dentist becomes confused when they see the cosmos in your mouth, then then you might think, but then I don't know any dentists who get confused when they don't see the cosmos in anybody's mouth. Right? No dentists have reported seeing the cosmic creation in anybody's mouth. Right? That's because we're not Krishna. That would be a big news, eh? If the dentist saw the... So we have to hear these lectures. We have to hear. We have to understand Srila Prabhupada's mood. How to preach. Prabhupada He didn't shy away from the third canto, speaking about, you know, Sankhya Yoga. He got right into it every day, a lecture, one verse after the next, describing the material creation. We have to know how it happens, because we have to be able to explain it. You know, like I was saying last day, we have to be able to understand it to ourselves, and if we haven't got any, if we're not like some big initiating guru, at least to our family, to our family, it's important. Your child could be, you know, did Gaur Mohan Day know that the person he was preaching to would become the greatest acharya since Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? We don't know who your children are, but if you don't preach to them, if you don't know anything, and you can't preach to your children, then what? But if you know something and you preach to your children, this could be one of the greatest things that could ever happen to the world. We owe so much to Gaur Mohan Day, making his son a devotee. So if we want to make progress, if we want to get into this material world, then we have to learn the tattva. Krishna guarantees that we will no longer, punar janma, will be finished. Then we'll enter into the spiritual. Then, what does it say in the 10th canto? Then we'll take birth, according to our consciousness, what we have been meditating on. If we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it's a different sampradayas, they have different destinations. Some will go to Goloka, some will go to Goloka, some will go to Vaikuntha, because they are Vaikuntha Vasis. Their meditation is on Vaikunthanath, the Lord of Vaikuntha. That's where they'll go. Or some will go to Vaj. So, if we're in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, that's where we go. In fact, Bhakti Santak explains that for Gaudiyas, there's two Siddhaswarups. Others, there's only one. For the Gaudiyas, there's two. One is in the Gaur Lila, one is in Krishna Lila. Of course, before we get there, we have to go to Gokula Vrindavan, where we get trained up. Get trained up before we enter the spiritual world. Otherwise, we won't know what to do. Then, we enter into the Goloka Vrindavan. Then we'll know the tattva still, but then we can enter into the Lila, because we know the tattva. We know the tattva. But Bhakti Santa explains that, as we see in the first, where's the first canto? Give me first canto. First canto, volume 1. No, don't have to look and see. First canto. This half is Chaitanya Lila. This half is Krishna Lila. So in the Gaur Lila, our swarup is male. In the Krishna Lila, our swarup is female. Only in Gaudiya Sampradaya this tattva is there. So anybody have any questions? Comments? Complaints? You have a microphone? I can't even... Chanting every day, 16 rounds, going out on Harinam Sankirtan for hours every day, book distribution, prasadam distribution, day by every day. Before book distribution, used to go to Harinam like six, for 8 hours a day, Harinam, every day. You know, after chanting your japa, go up for 8 hours, Harinam. Then they would do book distribution when that became more prominent. So that has a profound effect. If you go for a half hour kirtan, is one thing. You go for 8 hours of kirtan, it's another thing, right? That means when you read, it has a much more profound effect. Reading and chanting have to go hand in hand, because there's a synergistic effect. I noticed that when I was first, I lived 400 kilometers from the nearest temple, so I couldn't go. You know, there was no bhakti program, so I just was reading the Bhagavad Gita. So I just began following the Bhagavad Gita.
And at first it was extremely, extremely difficult because I didn't know anything and I was enchanting. But as I began reading more of the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada and the purport kept saying, you should chant this mantra, you should chant it. So I chanted that mantra. And the more I chanted it, the more I could understand what Prabhupada was saying. It has a synergistic effect. That the more you chant, the more you can understand what's in the books, and the more you read the books, the more you are impetus to chant. They help each other. Can you shut that door, please? Any other question? Yeah.
So, what is, before I came to know about all this, this material universe is like temporary. What is the use of?
It's not temporary, it's permanent. The matter is permanent, it's eternal. It's appearance and disappearance. It appears and disappears, but it's eternal. Material enemy is eternal. The five topics of the Bhagavad Gita are Ishvara, Jiva, the material world, time, and karma. The first four are eternal. Material energy is eternal. It's not temporary. The manifestations are temporary, but it's not temporary. The material energy is eternal.
So again? If I want to know the greatness of Krishna,
yeah.
So I will read like Egypt is covered in hill.
Okay.
Alright. Okay. So why do you know about these things? Like you were telling me Prabhupada even
one second. What's going on? Can you get them to quiet down a little bit over there? Like they're shouting too much. We have to understand that's the 10th canto. What about the previous 9 cantos? Those 9 cantos came before that. We should understand that first. Okay? Then we'll understand. Otherwise, it's just a story, some little boy, you know, holding up the hill. How can he hold up a hill? Why? It is some village story, some mythology, barbaric mythology, you know. How will you explain that? If you only read the Lila, how will you explain that? Scholars will just say it's just some barbaric, you know, village tribal god. And, you know, they have these stories. It's all mythology. Right? That's how they explain it. It's mythology. It's a mythology so much. Prabhu, can you please tell them to be quiet there? They're speaking. Oh, is it kind of the class? Okay. All right. I was wondering what's going on. I'm glad he's giving a good class. He's very enthusiastic. So that's the whole point. Otherwise, you know, he expanded into 60 and had so many girlfriends. But then you have to explain, how is this possible? If you don't know, how will you explain that? That Krishna can hold up, you know, because he's gravity, Sankarsana, you know, this is some of his energies. So we have to be able to explain Krishna's leelas. How when Mother Yashoda looked in his mouth, she saw the whole cosmic universe. How is that possible? You have to be able to explain that. Because he is an entity such that he's like infinite dimensional Hilbert space. At every point is in connection with infinite number of points. You know, that's infinity. There's different sizes of infinity according to real analysis. You know, Aleph null, Aleph one. They haven't even, they only think they can speak about them, but they can't define them or they can't prove them. You know, like Cantor, he was able to prove the existence of the infinity of Aleph null. But then it's getting into the next one, you know, that becomes more complicated. But Krishna's like that. Inside every, it's like the story of the cobbler and the Brahmin. Anybody know that story? So Narada Muni, he was wandering and he met this Brahmin. The Brahmin knew everything. He was like, you know, Chaturvedi, he knew so many slokas, every Veda, every Upanishad, he knew so many things. But he was, you know, so when he met Narada Muni, he said, he said, nice to meet a fellow transcendentalist, you know. He didn't pay obeisances to him, didn't offer him anything. He's thinking he's equal, on the same level as Narada Muni. He said, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Vaikuntha. He says, when you go, can you maybe ask Narayan, you know, when I will be free from this, when in this lifetime I will go back to Godhead. So Narayan says, okay. Then he meets this cobbler, this Muchi. As soon as he's met, he immediately gets up, offers Narada Muni a seat, washes his feet, you know, respects him, you know. And he said, Narada Muni, where are you going? He says, I'm going to be going to Vaikuntha. He says, And he was very humble, and he was very broken, you know. And it's not possible, but, you know, maybe you can ask how many more lifetimes, how many more Brahmandas do I have to go through before I can go see the Lord? He said, okay. So then Narada Muni goes to Vaikuntha and he sees Vaikunthapati. And then he begins to say, they were discussing. And he said, actually, by the way, when I was in Mrityuloka, I met two people, a Brahmin and a cobbler. They both want to know when they'll go back and come and see you. So Vaikunthapati said, you tell the Brahmin that it'll take him millions of lifetimes before he can come back. And you tell the cobbler, in this lifetime alone, he will be coming back to me. And Narada Muni was completely confused. How is it possible? One, he is a greatly learned scholar. He knows, memorized all the Vedas, all the Upanishads. He can know Sanskrit. You know, he knows Vedic Sanskrit, classical Sanskrit. You know, Kavi, he knows poetry, everything. Alankara, he's a great pundit. And the other one, he doesn't know how to read even. He's just a shoemaker, very dirty profession. And Krishna says, I'll tell you what. This is how you'll understand. When they'll ask you what I was doing, you tell them I was passing an elephant through the eye of a needle. You tell them that. Then you will understand why I said the answer that I gave. So, okay. He knew that his Lord likes to do these things, you know, so, little tricks. Because that's this way Narada Muni also learned something. So then Narada Muni, in his travels, he goes back and he sees this Brahmin. And the Brahmin says, bye. You know, he's not even, again, he's just his brother on an equal level, you know, like they're Guru Bhais or something, you know. So Narada Muni, you saw Vaikunthapati? And when am I coming back? Will it be on my birthday? No. Janmashtami? No. He kept trying to figure out when he's going to get. Narada Muni said, no. Actually, the Lord said it's going to take you crores of lifetimes before you can come back. And he was stunned. He was shocked. What? How is it possible? How do I know that you even went to Vaikuntha? What was it? How do I know if you? You know, what was he doing there? Well, you know, when I was in Vaikuntha, he was putting an elephant through an eye of a needle. Says, impossible. You must be a Narada Muni lookalike. You're not the real Narada Muni. Completely bogus. I don't believe this. How is it possible passing an elephant through the eye of a needle? Nonsense. Narada Muni lookalikes. So then, Narada Muni went. You can understand. Now I understand, you know, why he's not going back. He understood now why he was not going back. Because he has no faith that Krishna can put an elephant through the eye of a needle. But then he goes to the cobbler. And the cobbler sees immediately, pays obeisances, you know, offers him a seat. First he stands up, then pays obeisances, offers him a seat, washes his feet, you know, whatever he has, you know, does some puja to him. Then eventually, they didn't want to immediately ask. Then as the conversation, he asked, what did he say? How long will it take? And then he said, actually, the Lord said, in this lifetime itself, when you die, you will come back to me. And then he was so happy. He said, and what was my Lord doing there in Vaikuntha when you saw him? He says, Vaikuntha, but he was passing an elephant through the eye of a needle. He says, he says, how great is my Lord? How powerful? He can do anything, you know, like that. And he said, you believe that? He says, why not? Krishna can do anything. Here we're sitting under this banyan tree. Huh? And this banyan tree, there's so many seeds. And inside every seed,
There's a banyan tree. And on that banyan tree, there's many millions of seeds with more banyan trees in them. So if Krishna can put so many millions of banyan trees inside this little seed, what is the problem passing an elephant through the eye of a needle? He understood the power of Krishna. The other didn't understand the power of Krishna. So in the beginning of the Sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami explains that there is no point even of studying any Shastra unless you accept the inconceivable power of Krishna. The inconceivable power of God. After I read Bhagavad Gita, you know, I was thinking, well, who is this Krishna anyway? You know, I read the Bhagavad Gita, and I didn't have any, there's no temple. I was 400 kilometers from the nearest temple. So I was thinking, who is this Krishna? I wanted to know more about Krishna. But then one day I went to my girlfriend. She was babysitting. She was babysitting, and she was at some house. And I was talking to her, and suddenly, behind her was a bookshelf, totally empty, except for one book on the bookshelf. Krishna book. The Krishna book. Of all books, on an empty bookshelf, 400 kilometers in northern Ontario, you know, in the most remote, desolate, far corners of the universe, there is a Krishna book. Nobody had read it. It was totally brand new. You could see nobody had even opened the book before. So I had been meditating for several days. Oh, who is this Krishna? I wanted to know more about Krishna. And here, so I went toward my girlfriend. She thought I was going towards her. I just went right past her and I picked up this Krishna book. So I started reading the Krishna book. Then anyway, I came to the part about Govardhan Hill. About Krishna's like lifting him a mountain up. And I was thinking, what is this? You know, remember several years earlier, some devotees were distributing like these rudimentary BTGs, you know, so there's this hand-drawn picture of Krishna holding up this blue child holding up a mountain. I couldn't figure, what is this all about? I couldn't, you know, like, so I just like went through one ear and out the other, you know, and I just like, it was in, you know, I had been into, I was into mythology and reading about, you know, all the Egyptian mythology and Greek mythology and Roman mythology, and actually I read the Ramayana when I was 12 because it wasn't so very interesting. Kind of boring child version of the Ramayana. So then in the Krishna book, I was reading it, and then Prabhupada gives a whole explanation. And I was thinking, well, if God can't do amazing things, well, how could he be God? God should be able to do these things. Otherwise, how can he be God? God should be able to do things I can't do. Otherwise, he's not God. My brother tried to trick me like one time. He tried to ask me a trick question once because he's somewhat of an atheist, you know. Can God make a rock so heavy that he can't lift it? Can God make a rock that's so heavy that he can't lift it? Yes or no? Or he can't lift it. Then he's not God. Because he can't lift it. How can he be God if he can't lift it? So is the answer no? Then if the answer is no, then he's not God either. Because he can't make a rock that heavy. The answer is yes. He can make a rock that's so heavy that he can't lift it. Because by definition, Krishna, God, is Brahman. Ever expanding. When he made it, he couldn't lift it, but then instant later he could. When he made it, he could not lift it. But after that, one instant later, his power expanded, then he could lift it. Because that's the nature of Krishna. He is not aware of all his own potencies. So at the time of creation, he couldn't lift it. One instant, the very next instant, he could lift it. That is God. That is the God we worship. Isn't it? Our God is powerful.
not these puny gods, you know, who, you know, why do good things happen to, why do bad things happen to good people? Oh, there's a God out there, but he really tries, but he really can't, you know, he's not really that strong. he has good intentions, but he really can't manage things that well. There are some people who think that way. That's not our God. So we have to understand, Krishna can do anything. There's nothing which he cannot do. All contradictions are reconciled in Krishna. All contradictions are reconciled in Krishna. He has no feet, but he walks faster than everybody else. He has no ears, but he can hear everything. Everything is made from Krishna, but it's not Krishna. Yes, Mataji? You may need a microphone. Okay. Well, it can be a multi-lifetime process. Bahu janmanam ante gnanavanmam prapadyate sarvam Bahu janmanam ante gnanavanmam prapadyate Vasudevam sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabha. At the conclusion of many lives, one who has actually acquired knowledge, they understand that Vasudeva is all that there is, and such a great soul is very rare to achieve. So we have to make all attempts. But even on the royal road, there can be accidents. Like in the case of Bharat Maharaj, he had some mistake. Ultimately, it's Krishna's mercy. It's not that we can storm the gates of heaven. It's up to Krishna to decide. We do the best we can, then it's up to Krishna to decide. He's not obligated to take us. When he decides that we're ready, it's like when you're frying pakoras. Another pakora says, okay, I've been in here long enough. You know, when you decide that the pakora is cooked, then you take it out. Right, Mataji? When you make a pakora, when you see that it's cooked, then you take it out. Not the pakora says, okay, I think I've been here long enough. Take me out. It's a little hot here. No, when it comes to the right color, then you take the pakora out. So when Krishna decides that we're cooked enough, then he takes us out. Like that. Not that we decide. He decides. That's what it means. Causeless mercy. We can't storm the gates of heaven. You know, let me in. The four Kumaras tried that strategy. They wanted to get in. The gatekeepers kept them out. Krishna has gatekeepers to keep people out. Jaya Vijay, as always you see at every temple, there's Jaya and Vijay. Keep unqualified people out. Just because you want to come in, you know, there's a, what do they call those people in the bars who keep the bouncers? A bouncer to keep people who are not qualified. But when you're in, you get invitation. It's like, you know, you get this very, you'll get an invitation. Actually, that's interesting. When my godbrother was about to leave his body, what's his name now? Nirguna Prabhu. He left. We talked a little while in September of 2000. Right after my accident, I called him. He had cancer. He had cancer and he was dying. I told him, don't make any long range plans. 2 months later, he died. So when he's laying there, he was one of the lucky ones. He had a choir. He had 150. Had a room full of devotees, and he was people were chanting. They were doing 24-hour kirtan, and I remember Kurma was leading the kirtan. Not like, you know, modern day. Sometimes the kirtan is meant as a meditation. So sometimes people think the kirtan is meant to show how many tunes I know. So every 5 minutes they change the tune. So Kurma was leading the same kirtan for like 7 hours straight. So then they were telling him, you know, to become detached, you know, says I go back to God. Says, well, I haven't got my invitation yet. He was in communication. They haven't invited me back yet. I haven't got an invitation yet. Then
After some hours, he said, I've received an invitation from Radharani. Radharani has sent me an invitation. Then he was. This is a man who just a few hours later he died. But you see the picture of him in Kirtan. He was completely in bliss. Should read those in 2007 November on Sandandavats Hari Shori's report of the passing of Nirguna. Extremely inspirational. When he got the invitation, then he left his body. He was waiting for the invitation. So not that you can crash the party at Krishna. That's we. You know, that's not humility. We have to wait for Krishna. When he sees we're cooked, at the right, when we're done, when we're pakka, then only we get the invitation, we go back. Not until that time. Otherwise, we'll become a disturbance in his society. Everybody behaves properly there. We're not, it's like you bring a child to some... I remember it was Subhanjaya's daughter's Mendi party. I think it was like April the 23rd, 2008, I came. So, Radha Shakti and Madhusudhanhari came with Vamshi. And Vamshi was screaming and yelling, and he laid on the floor in the doorway so nobody else could come into the hotel. So this person came, picked up Vamshi, and just like, you know, gently dumped them out of the way. So, you know, they become a nuisance. So we'll just be a nuisance if we go back to Goloka Vrindavan until we're properly trained up. When we're ready, then we'll get the invitation. We'll get when Dhruva Maharaj was ready, then the Vaikuntha carriers came, the Vishnu Dutas came, and the Vimanas, they brought him back. When he was ready. So when we're ready, then we'll go. Not 1 minute before. Yes. In a certain extent. Everything for Krishna is Leela. For us it doesn't seem that way. We don't have a Leela. He has a Leela. We don't have Leela. Krishna has Leela. Sometimes Mayavadis go, oh, this is our Leela. Being born as pig. Having our throat slit. That's a Leela. No, that's not our Leela. This is Krishna's Yoga Nidra. Right? His transcendental dream. But when Krishna dreams, universes are created. When we dream, our dream is also real. Our dreams are real. They're created by Krishna. But our dream is not a shared reality. When Krishna dreams, it's a shared reality. Not our dreams. So we're part of... So it says in the Guru Vastika that the Guru is bringing... You know, he's involved with the Krishna's helping in the Rasa Leela. So what does that mean? That the devotees... what are we doing? We are bringing souls back to Krishna. In the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, it is described that Krishna comes and he has so many pastimes, right? And he fights with Ravana, and he fights with this demon and Salva, and he fights with Kumbhakarna, and different avatars. He's fighting with different demons. So when he kills them, does he consider that to be a victory? We think that Krishna doesn't consider that to be a victory. That's not victory for him. Krishna considers it a victory if he can bring a soul back to Godhead. That for him is a victory. So we are involved in Krishna's Leela. If we help, if we bring ourselves back and help others to also come back. That's being involved in Krishna's Leela. Because he feels victorious when he's able to get to bring back one of his servants. He feels great victory, great accomplishment. Not killing Ravana, not killing Kamsa, Trinavarta. This is not victory for him. Because there's no juice there. They get Kaivalya.
But when somebody voluntarily comes back to Him, that's to him is victory. So if we can help him, we can help Krishna achieve victory, then he will be happy. That'll be part of his lila, bringing others to his rasa lila. Any other questions? Jai Shri Krishna Janmashtami Ki Jai. So we have to, don't forget, these are, if you haven't got one of these, they have a few left in the gift shop. Buy it, then don't, but when you buy it, listen to them. Don't just put them on your bookshelf with the books which are collecting dust. Then you'll have a CD that's collecting dust also. Books have to be read. The MP3s are to be listened to. And you can shorten your stay in the material world. You will cook faster. And Krishna will take you out of the faster. You'll get ready faster. Jai. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.